The following recording consists of several parts. It includes the recording of this year's Daf Yomi, followed by a brief review, which allows you in a few moments just to go over the Daf, and then it continues on with the same Daf in the previous Daf Yomi cycle, which of course has a completely different ambience and a whole different group of people that are in attendance. You can use that for Chazor if you wish, and you may actually prefer the ambience of the earlier daf. Today's daf in Zvachim is daf Tzadi Hey, and we are up to Tzadi Dalet Amud Beit at the Halakha Mishnah. So continuing on now with the chiyuv that we had in the last Mishnah about the location, the makom kadosh of doing kibbutz or doing shavira or doing marika v'shtifa, we may get into a problem if our beged that we needed to do these things to, or our kli cheres became tameh while they were taken out of the azora. How do we do the act if we can't bring them into the azora? So it says the Mishnah, beged shiatza chutz l'kilayim. If after dam was nitaz, and now it's yotze, that doesn't change anything at all. And despite the fact that it's yotze, there's still a chiyuv of kibbutz. Therefore, just bring it back in. Nichnas u'mechapso b'makom kadosh. But how about if it was nitma chutz l'kilayim? When it was taken out, it also became tameh, and therefore not allowed to bring it back in. Well, what you can do is you can tear it, and that destroys the shame of the beged that it was to the point where it's no longer osur, because the tuma leaves it when it's no longer the beged that was makabel tuma, and then v'nichnas u'mechapso b'makom kadosh. Now, obviously, this leads to a little bit of a fine line. Because if you're mevatel the shame beged from it, so then you're no longer going to be yotzi the chiyuv, because it says veha beged asher yizeh. If it's not a beged asher yizeh, then what's the point? So our fine line is going to have to be dependent on a specialized halacha of tumah v'tayra, which is that if something was mekabel tumah in a particular state, surprisingly, the tumah relates not to the material per se, but to the state. In other words, let's say that this was initially a piece of cloth that was shlosha al shlosha. It could be mekabel tumah. And then, if you tore it, and it would be less than shlosha al shlosha, it wouldn't be tummy, but neither could it ever be mekabel tumah. So that wouldn't help us too much. On the other hand, if something was mekabel tumah as an organized state, which we call a sweater, then the sweater was mekabel tumah. Now, if you tear the sweater in such a way that it's no longer called a sweater, it may still be a perfectly usable beged, but not a sweater. And since the tumah related to the sweater as it was, it is no longer the sweater as it was, and the tumah is kaput. However, that leads to another little bit of a problem, because after all, the Torah did say the beged, which is mashma, the beged that was, should be the thing that you're washing. Not to mention the question that if you've reduced something to a state in which it only could be mekabel tumah, then we get into the problem of the Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar issue before, about whether a royal kabbal tumah or it actually is an amatzav of kabbalat tumah. We certainly want to get into that problem. Anyway, these are the issues that we're going to have to deal with in the particulars of the sugya in the Gemara. So recognize that it can't possibly mean that we're mevatalit from the shem beged completely, and then we're going to talk about how that would be done. Same thing would be true about a kli cheres. A kli cheres, even though it was used for Bishul and it was Yotze, that doesn't change anything. Just bring it back in. Because you need to break it b'makom kadosh, as we learned yesterday, because of the continuation, ukli cheres, asher tevushal bo yishaver, meaning in the same place. So then, bring it back in, nichnas v'shovro b'makom kadosh, which is a requirement. Now, how about if it was nitma chutz l'kilayim? So, obviously, you could break it, and then it wouldn't be tameh, but if you broke it, then you already broke it in the wrong place. You can't do that. So what do? You make a hole in it with a drill, you see. You're no kavo. Now, if you're no kavo, you can remove the shame of Kli Cheres. Now, here too, we have the same issue. If you would make a hole in it that would cancel its shame Kli, and that hole is a hole that is large enough for even Rimonim to escape. For what are you going to use it for? Basketballs? So at that point, it's no longer called a Kli. But suppose initially this was something, as would be the case if you're being Mavashel, it would have to contain liquid in it because it would have the sauce of the meat and so on that you'd be cooking if, let's say, you have the Basar of the Chattas in. In which case, this would initially be the type of Kli, which even if it had a small hole that would be enough to allow the contents to escape on some, it would no longer be usable as the Kli Cheres, which was. So it would lose. Right. Well, we'll see. We could talk about that in the Gemara. But it's certainly conceivable that we should make the type of opening would be sufficient to be mevatel the initial shame of the Kli of the Kli Cheres. Nonetheless, it would still be a Kli in the broadest sense that the Torah is referring to the Kli that needed to be broken. So I could still break the Kli. It still is the Kli Cheres. It's just not the Tomei Kli Cheres, which had that particularized usage of before. So then I could carefully, what it would mean is carefully be nokeved, and then bring it in, and then be shovro b'makom kadosh. Now we have the same problem even with the Kli Nechoshet, because after all, we have to do the Marika v'shtifa, which includes putting it into water. We're not going to put it into the mikveh, because now what we have to do is b'makom kadosh. We can't bring it in when it's tummy. So now we've got a problem. We're going to have to actually take away the shame of the Kli, of a Kli Matechet. Now that isn't as easily done as it is with a Kli Cheres, that a small hole, because after all, metal is easily worked and used in different, it's more expensive, and therefore people are less likely to give up on it. And because of that would require a greater amount of bittul of the shame kli if you're not going to be tevel it. So if you have kli nechoshet, again, if which is yotze chutz kilayim, which means that whatever it had been absorbed is yotze, that's irrelevant. And you just go back in, nichmasum mor kovishotfo bebakom kadosh, which is the required mitzvah. But if it was nitma chutz kilayim outside of the azara, in which case you're unable to bring it into the azara, so then first you'll have to be pohato. A pochato would be either, the way Tosus learns, inverted. So meaning bang it out in such a way that the inside is not the outside is not the inside, which means it still has a shame kli, but it's not the kli that was, and because that it would lose its tumah. Or Rashi learns pochato means wreck it, because you need a bigger wreck. And again, we're going to have to straddle that thin line that allows it still to be considered to be a shame kli. Again, we'll see this in the Gemara. And then you can be machniso because it's no longer tummy. Ravina asked on the whole concept of this Mishnah, what do you mean when you say Kor'o? How could you be Kor'o if you're taking off the shame Tuma from it? Then it's not a beged at the time that you're washing it. But the Torah said, Veha beged should be Yichabes b'makom kadosh. Well, where's the beged in the makom kadosh? This isn't the beged. Didn't the Torah say beged, Amar Rachmana? And if you tore it, then it's no longer considered to be a beged. So you're up against a paradoxical situation. If you're going to be attacking the tumah, then you're going to be mevatel the mitzvah. And if you're not attacking the tumah, then you can't bring it in to do the mitzvah. So there seems to be an impossible problem over here. Answers the Gemara that what you do is mishayer be kidei ma'aforet. Now, halacha is that this is a reference to a sugya in Chulin, which we're talking about a talit that was tamea, and now you tear it. So the din is, if you tear the rove of it, the talit becomes tahor. But this is only, you need to tear rove. And there the problem is that it says that a kedei ma'aforet, now ma'aforet is the minimum beged that you would wear, it's your turban. Everybody's got a turban, look at Richard. I mean, no captain would be caught dead without his turban. And therefore, the shame of a beged would still be chal, as if you would be able to reconnect this with a shear of kedei ma'aforet that is still left on it, that has that shame of beged as well, despite the fact that it was mevatel the tumah. So in other words, we're straddling a very thin line. A beged, obviously, anything that shlosh is a shame beged. But, I mean, this is not the beged that was the one that had the dam on it. So now you've got a problem. It's not the beged that has the dam on it. That would be the equivalent of, let's say, taking the Kli Cheres, putting it back into a kiln, refiring it. You refire it, you don't have to break it because it's a new kli. It's no longer, it's the same molecules. That's not the point, though. We call that parim chadashot bo'olakai. Give it a different identification. Give it a different identification, and this is not the beged that the Torah was mechayev you on. And so, memela, what exactly are you doing?
Is that like tefillah in the mikvah?
What's that?
Is that like tefillah in the mikvah?
No, you can't be tovel. You mean for... Let's wait. We're going to be talking about it. Please don't go on a tangent. That's very tangential. So, therefore, what we need to do is, on the one hand, be mevatel the tumah, and that has to do with the state of the beged, as it were. On the other hand, it still has to be included in the din of beged, which is not that difficult to do because you could be korea rov. But he's raising a new issue because you should also need to have the shame beged legabi the kriya. This is not that beged. If you're telling me that now it is something that is not royal akabel tuma, that is royal akabel tuma but isn't metame, I mean, that anyway would get us back at the best of circumstances to the earlier machlokas. Be had between Rabbi and Rabbi Lozer. Is this something that is mechuyev in kibbutz or not? Remember that according to Rabbi Lozer, if it isn't makabel tuma now, then it is not considered to be something that is mechayev kibbutz. So you tell me because it could be chayev? So it needs to, in some level, relate back to the beged that was without being tamed. Now, how is that? So what the Gemara is trying to do over here is saying that if you have kedei ma'aforet, then it still retains the name of the beged vis-a-vis the din of the chatas because it hasn't been torn into two separate pieces. And I see it now, the way Rashi learned. There are some that learned strips. Yes, there are some Rishonim that actually learned that we're talking about strips. Yeah, but Rashi simply learns that there's one place in which the thing is connected, the two halves are connected with the thickness of a turban. And that is considered still to be, in people's minds, this is still the beggar that was. It's not a two-piece. Now the problem is that shear itself also prevents the loss of the tumah. Because, I mean, in what sense could something be a beged, but not be a beged for the tumah? But, I mean, doesn't it say beferish that the halacha is, Amar Rav Huna, when do we say that if you tore most of that talit, that it becomes tohar at the point that you tore rov? That's losh nala shalosh yerba kedei ma'aforet. That's only if in that miut there wasn't the width of a turban. But if that miut had indeed the width of a turban, shi'er ba'kadei ma'aforet, that would still be considered to be a chibur, and the tumah would remain as it was. In which case, we got a problem. Because you're trying to straddle a line and find this interim issue, in which, well, it's still a beggar, but it's not tumah. The Kabbal Tumah. It's not retaining the Tumah. Answers the Gemara, that halakha of Rav Huna, albeit it's true, but it's only been Rabbanah. Over there, the Rabbanah made a gezeira because people see this as a beged, and because of that, they may even not do Ruba. Because, the last time I did it, was still okay. It had a ma'aforet, so I guess you just need to make a little tear, which is not true. So they made a gezeira. However, we did not make that gezerah when it comes to be Mekayim, the mitzvah of kibbutz and the mikdash, because there would be no alternative. And therefore, we have to say the lashon here. We have no choice but to say the dinim ma'aforet, even though min rabbanan, that would still be a problem. So what we've settled on is tearing the beged, berubo, leaving a kedei ma'aforet, so it still has that shame beged, therefore being able to do the kibbutz and having no problem bringing it into the azara because it lost its tumah. The next case that we had is the kli cheres that was yatsa. It would have to be, if it became tumah, it would have to be drilled through with a hole. And when you would drill through that hole, you would be mevatel the tumah. But nonetheless, it was a small hole because it was just, as we'll see, ask the Gemara, but, if you drill a hole, do you not take away its shame kli? Ask the Gemara, kli amarachmana, vahalav klihu. Answers the Gemara, it must be shenikev b'shoresh katan. What you do is you drill a hole, which is one of the smallest shiurim. There are actually five different stages of shiurim for kli cheres that take away the shame kli lagabi different dinim. For instance, a kli for being b'kadish d'mei chatat. So mayim chayim el keli. What is that keli? There, the smallest possible shear is called kinus mashke, to allow water to get into it. Now, to allow water to get into it, you're struggling against surface tension, and therefore a small hole won't allow the water to come in, but it would allow the water to go out because the surface tension is broken because of the weight of the water. So that would be the next highest, would be yotze mashke. But that's only for special dinim. Yeah. But for special dinim, let's say for the mechatat, where we're makbid on the actual water. When it comes to other usages, so the next shiur up is b'chdei shoresh katan. Now, technically speaking, b'chdei shoresh katan, I'm not going to go into the issues over here because it's really a sugya in the Tumah V'Taira, not really nogea in detail to our sugya in Zvachim. But the problem is that normally that shear of k'dei shoresh katan, the uppermost shear would be to actually let out pomegranates, and then it wouldn't be usable for anything. But the shoresh katan has to do with something that was miyuchad for zra'im, and that doesn't make sense in this context, as Tosfos points out. I mean, over here, it's being used for water, for boiling up something that has water in it. So why exactly would Shoresh Katan be the shear? A root would be able to penetrate through it. Okay, but in any event, you get the idea. That's what's most important. The idea is it's still a kli because I can use it as a serving bowl for fruit. So klicheres it is. But the tumah that came in this particular gestalt of the klicheres, it goes away because it was being used as a different kind of klicher. And about the kli nechoshet, how about that? So the kli nechoshet, the Mishnah says, well, you'll have to go ahead and be pochato entirely. Ask the Gemara, what? But did the Torah not say, Kliyo Marachmana? Once again, Hailaf Kliyu, for which we'll have to say that what you do is the Rotzifle Miratzif. After banging it out, you bang back in again. Or after smashing it up, the way Rashi understands pochato, you bang it out and you reconnect it. Now it gets the shame Kli on it as well. And therefore, you are able, in this case, to call it a kli. Omer Reish Lakish. When it comes to the me'il, we got a real problem. Suppose some dam chatas would drip on the me'il of the Kohen Gadol. Now, there's no way that you can tear it, because as we just learned, lo yikareya, perfect for our parsha. So you can't tear it. So what do you do then? What you'll have to do is machniso b'pachot, you'd have to bring in less than the shear of shalosh al shalosh, so not enough to be a begetameh, and then you'd be mechabiset. Mishum sheneamar, that's because it says lo yikareya. And so you have no choice but to bring in the smallest, less than the smallest possible shear. Three, you have a large beget, a me'il. Normally I would tear it, but I can't tear the me'il. So what I do is I put it into the azorah. No, that little tiny area of the me'il, even if the blood is on a big area, but I only put a little tiny bit in. Pachot be 3x3. We'll see in a moment, we're talking about 3x3 fingers or 3x3 tvachim, depending on whether it's shalosha shalots, which is fingers, which is feminine, or shlosha al shlosha, which is tvachim. And that's what we're going to discuss right now. But as long as I wasn't machnis a beged into the azar, I don't have a problem. I wash it in the Azara, but I don't bring in a tummy beged all at one time. I bring in only a little patch. I wash that, move it over, wash the next piece. That way I got away with it. I wasn't machnis tum in the Azara, but I didn't wash it outside of the Azara either. Yeah, exactly. So it says lo yikareya. I don't understand why over here we spoke about bringing shalosh for shalosh. Doesn't it say that thick material, and man, it doesn't get thicker than the me'il, where every single thread is made out of 12 separate threads. That is thick as could possibly be. And harakin, which refers in this case to felts, meaning something that has not been woven at all, do not have a din of shalosh al shalosh. And it's because they are so thick, you can't possibly use them as a patch You can attach something that that's thick. So the only possible usage that you could have with it is to sit on it. You know, I mean, you could say that it's something that provides a little pad for you when you sit down on a wooden chair. I used my chavrusa 50 years ago in Mir, when people were so poor here. He used to take his handkerchief and put it on the bench in the yeshiva that he would sit on, because that way his pants would last longer. And he would never sit down without putting a little handkerchief down. So over here, this is the shalosh al shalosh. Shalosh al shalosh is too small for that, and therefore you would need at least shalosha al shalosha. So why in the world did you have to be careful to be machnis it in such a small shear that it should be even less than shalosh al shalosh? That's because, since over here we're not really talking about a piece of material, we're talking about a me'il. So what are you going to say? Well, you know, it's not kosher because, after all, it's less than shalosh al shalosh. It's a coat, baby. I mean, the fact that you're only relating to this area. So therefore, you want to make sure that you bring in something that is very small, very limited. And that's why they were makbid. Dafka agav avien. Since in this case, because of the fact that this is part of a chosh of a beged, so too would the shear of shlosh al shlosh over here to be makbid. And less than that would not be enough. But wait a minute, there's a much bigger problem over here, and that is blood does not come out in water. Blood requires a specific treatment that the Gemara in Nida defines, which includes 7 different chemicals that need to be put onto a beged, and only then can we be certain that we've gotten out the blood, in which case we'd have to do that. Now, there's one problem with those 7 chemicals, and that is that one of them is ammonia, which is generated through urine. But you can't bring urine, as we know, into the Azara, and therefore you've got this problem of how do you get this. This is how Rashi learns the problem. You've got this problem of how do you get it into the Azara if ein machnisin b'raglayim ba'azara b'pnei hakavod. What are you going to do? So does it not say, the Omer of Nachman, Omer Rabba Baravua, dam chatat en marot nigaim, all require the same shiva samamanim of the nida? And the din is that you cannot bring in those shiva samamonim, because does it not say, as we say every day, Elisheim machnisi meraglaim lamigdash? Yeah, so what are you going to do now? Now, Tosfos says that doesn't make sense to learn the question the way Rashi's learning it, because then this is a general question on anything that you'd be doing to keep this in the Azara. Why in the world would we have waited till now? This is a question that was, again, a previous Mishnah, where it says, and it has to be Mubakom Kadosh. Your first reaction should be, how can you do it in a Mubakom Kadosh if you're not allowed to bring urine into a makom kadosh? And that's where it's most striking. You say the word makom kadosh, and then you say mipnei hakavod in makom kadosh. Therefore, Tosis learns the problem is only when it comes to the me'il. Why? And it's therefore a direct result of our discussion now on the me'il, and that is because normally we have an option. Instead of using urine, we can use tsofun, which is a very powerful chemical, but the problem is, unfortunately, that it will also take out colors. We can't use it, therefore, on the me'il. So if you're talking about a regular thing, okay, but how are we going to use it on the me'il? So therefore, the me'il has a problem of needing urine, and you're not allowed to bring in urine. Now, maybe you'll tell me, v'chitema, maybe you'll say, well, I mean, if that's the issue, you could mix everything together, mix all the 7 samamonim together, in which case the urine is no longer noticeable as a separate chemical, and then mivla lubani, the shiva samamonim, and then ma'abir lahulakulo kichad, and you want to use that as solution. It's not a good solution, because it says, beferish in the Mishnah Nida, v'atzlan he'eviran shalok sidran. If you utilize these chemicals not in the specific order that they're required, and anybody who's dealt with stain removal from clothing and has some of those little kits knows how very careful the order has to be and what you do first, or otherwise you really wreck it. You end up being actually koveya the stain. So if you do it out of the correct order, or for that matter, says the Mishnah, even if you try doing the whole thing in one time by using all 7 chemicals at once, like men who are trying to do the laundry, trying to, you know. So It's loasa v'lo klum. That ain't going to work. So you cannot put the urine together with everything else. Now, maybe you'll say the only problem over there is because you mixed them all together. Maybe I could just mix the urine with one of the other chemicals. And maybe that wouldn't be so bad, because here it says only shivatan ke'achad. And maybe two of them would be okay. So v'chitem b'divlu b'had echad misamamoni. No, because the rule is each one of those chemicals needs to be rubbed three times on its own, b'kol echad v'achad. Therefore, you can't even mix it. And that's what it says in the Mishnah. Tzarech l'chatzches shalosh pe'amim b'kol echad v'achatnan. And the solution is simple. The solution is the mivlal hu barok tafel. The Omer Resh Lakish rok tafel tzarech shiye im kol echad v'echad. All, each and every one of these chemicals is mixed with rok tafel as an absorber. It allows it to penetrate into the baguette. So this is saliva that has been sitting in your mouth all night. Very powerful stuff, let me tell you. I mean, even the Colgates can't get rid of that stuff. So you use that rok tafel. That's the best way of getting rid of the problem of the urine. Boy, I wouldn't have thought so. It's getting worse all the time. Okay, Richie dear, you're on.
Oh, zok tahelik mishnah.
It's getting better every time. Echad shebishel bo. You know, maybe you ought to actually say the Mishnah. Well, that would be the way to really get you into that. You don't want to inflict it on us? Echad shebishel bo. Now, this din of bishul, now, certainly if you actually cooked in the kli cheres, or you did the nikli nechoshet, but it would even be echad she'ira l'tocha roteach, even if you poured from a boiling pot into this container, so it wasn't used on the fire, it was just used for serving. And this would be true, whether we're talking about kachim kadoshim, or whether we're talking about kachim kalim, you'd still require marika v'shtifa. Rabbi Shimon Umer Kachim Kalim, as we saw before, ain't to any Marika v'shtifa. By the way, there's a machlokas v'shonim as to whether this would be true about the din of Kli Cheres Yishaver, because according to Rambam, no, that's not the case. Only Marika v'shtifa is under discussion over here. When it comes to Kli Cheres, we wouldn't have made this statement that it makes no difference. But let's see. In any event, what we seem to be assuming here in the Mishnah is something very interesting. And that is that the din of Marika v'shtifa is somehow related to the concept of absorption. In other words, you could have learned that this has nothing to do with the kashrus issue. It's just that anything that had been used for Kodesh has to be renewed or something. I don't know. I mean, the Gemara is taking for granted, this Mishnah is taking for granted, apparently, that the din of Marika v'shtifa, normally I would say, well, I mean, it says bishul. Bishul means that was cooked in. What right do I have to say if it was ma'arab betocho and so on? So apparently we're taking for granted that there is an issue here that has to do with absorption. We're going to see that we have a very good reason for making that assumption, because why else would the Torah give us different dinim depending on the material that had been used? We do know by our own experience that a kli cheres always is going to absorb and be much more difficult to get rid of that absorption than a metal kli. So what the pasuk seems to be saying when it says, well, the kli cheres, you got to break. The klei nechoshet, you can do marak v'shatav v'mayim. That registers in my mind directly as having something to do with getting rid of what was balua betocho. So it isn't just this magical halacha that something has to be done in order to renew what you use for whatever purpose. Yeah, that's not the point. Okay, so therefore, our next question is, what exactly would the makor of this be? So turn around on it. Asher tevushalbo. It says in the pasuk beferush, kli cheres asher tevushalbo yishaver. How do we know that even if ira latocho? So ainli ela shebishelbo. But how about ira latocho roteach minayin? You just pour something into it. Who's to say that that is considered to be enough? Talmud lomar asher tevushalbo. Is the point not that it got into it? Yishaver. So the bow, therefore, is the point of anything that gets into it. Since Eroi gets into it, all you need to do is pour some tea into your cup and note that it stains the cup. So obviously, if it comes from a boiling cup, then it's going to be Mavliya. That's the source. Boy, Rami Barchona. Now I got a question for you. And we're going to see that his question really should be understood as follows. It's true that there is an element of bliyah that's important, but is that the only thing that's important? In other words, would bishul that would not cause bliyah, would that still be a chiyuv, or is the chiyuv only because of bliyah? Let me give you a case. You have a tanur of cheres, remember all the tanurim are of cheres, and you take a meat of a chatas, and you put it in there to broil on a spit. Now, it never touches anything in the actual walls of the tanur. So you can't call it now Blia, but you could say it was cooked in it, asher tevushalbo. So, I mean, there you have this theoretical sense of bishul without blia. Would that be sufficient?
It's not dripping?
No, assuming it's not dripping. You put something down to catch the dripping. Yeah, put a piece of silver for it. So, I ask as follows, by Rami Bar Chama, tila'o ba'avir tanur mahu. Suppose you have it hanging in the airspace of the tanur, and it cooks there. Is the hakpada of the Torah on bishul and bliya, who dekapid rachmana, o dilma abishul below bilua, or would it be on cooking without absorption? Now, this was initially misunderstood as not being aware of the drush that we had just made, that even irui would be sufficient, which clearly indicates that balua is significant. Therefore, said Rava, well, look at the halacha. Echad shebishelbo ve'echad sheira l'tocho roteach. Now, that should be an indication to you that our concern is with bli'ah. To which, of course, Rami Bar Chama replied, excuse me, I never asked that. I'm not an idiot. Of course, balua b'lo bishul lo kami barlan. I wasn't asking that. What I was asking is whether there is also a hakpada in the Torah on bishul without bilua, not whether bilua is also considered to be a bishul, which I do know from the Lashon and the Pasuk of Bo. My question was bishul b'lo bilua. Do you have something to say to my question? My. Oh, well, we do have something to say about that. Tashma. Yomer Nachman Omer Rabba Bar Avua. The tanur in the Beit HaMikdash was remarkably not made out of matechet, despite the fact that all over it was, and it was made, of cheres, it was made out of matechet. Why did they make it out of matechet? Obviously, because they didn't want to have to go through breaking the tanur every time it was used. Right? So therefore, they made it out of matechet, then it would be easy to fix with brick of a shtifa. The isalka daita. If your question about bishul would only be required if you'd had balua, but abishul below bilua lo kapid, so what's the problem? After all, we don't literally cook on the edge of the tanur. We only put it in the airspace in order for it to broil. So there wouldn't be a problem even if it were cheres. And therefore, if you're telling me that lo kapid navicha cheres, then make the tanur even in the mikdash of cheres. You're right. But you know what? This tanur wasn't only used for that purpose. It was also used for making a mincha ma'afet tanur. Was it not used for cooking shiarei ha-mincha for kohanim? No. So that's cooked right up against the surface of the tanur, just like any other bread. So how would you answer that problem? That would have the same issue, and you'd have to clear it out. So therefore, how could I do that with the cheres? In which case, they had to make it of matechet, not because of the case of the chatat. Maybe that ain't a chinami, would have been perfectly fine. But kivan di kashi arei minachot dafiatan betanur. And in that case, you would have both bishul and bilua. In order to avoid any problems, they made it shocheres. Now, there was a particular tanur where the baker had used atchu beit taicha. He had used now a fat, animal fat, and had made a bread on it that was cooked in fat. Generally not done, but, it was fleishig of bread, basically. So Rabba said, forget it. You can never eat asra Rabba bar Eloi lemichla lerifta lo'olam. You would never be able to use that tanur for bread baking. Because even if you only want to eat that bread with parav, and you want to eat it just plain lechem b'milcha, filo b'milcha, even just plain sauce, salt. Because since it's rather common to make toast, to put butter on the toast. So what would you be doing with buttered toast alia?
Toast with your coffee?
And since it's very likely that that will be the result of this bread, and since every time that you use this tanur, it's going to end up making the bread fleshix, even if it was heated up in between, there's nothing to do about it. Because after all, the Torah did say you have to break it here. You have to break it, so that means that even if you would heat it up, it wouldn't be any good. So you can see how this relates directly to the previous sugya. Now, we asked on this psak, meitve, ein lashinata isa bechalav, you cannot make milchika bread either. And if you do, kola patkula asura, the entire thing becomes asur, because what's to prevent you with eating this bread with a salami sandwich? And therefore, mipnei hergel avera. Furthermore, you can't make fleishika bread. Kayotsebo, ein tashinata tanur ba'alya, you don't use fat tail of an animal to line your tanur with oil. You know, that's the pan stuff. Fleishika pan. Ve'imtash kol hapat kula asura. It's all asur. Now read the next words. Achi asika tanur. Until the tanur was reheated. Now he said, Rabbi Bar Yochai, you can never use this tanur again. Now here it says you can reheat it. That's a big problem.
It's a self-kashering tanur.
We're getting to self-kashering tanurs right now. Tiyuvta the Rabbah Barayiloi, Tiyuvta. And that indeed seems to checkmate Rabbah Barayiloi. Omale Ravino Ravashi, wait a second here. Now I don't understand. So in other words, we can finally use our china sets on Pesach? Thank God. My wife is telling me we're going to have to buy a new one. She says, your Shulchan Aruch is ruining our lives. So according to this,
I can get her a different one.
So then on my Amar Rav, if we've shown that Rabbah Bar Yochai is wrong, then why did Rav say that we have to break all of our china ware on Pesach? Well, I guess Rav understands that whole discussion there, it says Ach Yusaka Tanur, must be talking about a self-cleaning tanur. Because that was made out of metal, and metal can self-clean. The next time you heat it up, it basically cleans out what's in it. Or, you know what? Actually, it's probably more reasonable to say that it's talking about a normal tanur, which is cheres. And, of course, it's a very good reason to make a tanur out of cheres. It retains its heat instead of emitting it all over the house. So it's certainly reasonable to have a tanur shel cheres. And the reason that we say that you could reheat the tanur and then use it is because where do you reheat it, a tanur, as opposed to kelim? You reheat it on the very side that it was used for, because the tanur is heated inside of it, and the inside of it is where it absorbed whatever it was that it was absorbing. But when you reheat your pots from the outside, it's not on the same side as the area where it absorbed. And therefore, that Rabbah Bar Yochai would have been right about, that you can't get rid of the absorbed contents. So maybe that's the point. Zeh hesekom mibifnim. A tanur is heated from the inside, whereas zeh hesekom mibachutz. Oh, come on, man. I mean, that's a problem. So then do the hesek mibifnim. You tell me, you want to use your Teflon, whatever you're giving a din of cheres on, frying pan, right? Or your new ceramic frying pan. You'd love to use that for Pesach. Okay, so fill it up with boiling hot coals or put a fire in it and heat it up in the inside, not the outside. I understand that it has to be done from the same side. So do it from the same side. V'navid ha-sakam mibifnim. We don't allow you to do that. Because doing that will often ruin it, and therefore you won't do it properly. So you're chayes alayo, you'll be merachem on it. Oh, I don't want to bust this. The meat break, because it could sometimes break. And therefore, hilkach haikuvia, where you have now a ceramic frying pan. A ceramic frying pan actually was like a slate where they would use it for the equivalent of a frying pan. So it's almost a flat, what do you call this? A griddle, almost. A ceramic griddle. So that is called a seiko mi bachutz. Even though you say, I could easily make something inside, but you don't. It's not the normal way to do it. If you would do it that way, we're chayish that you're going to go ahead, and you indeed will be chasaleu. And because of that, a seiko mi bachutz, and it's aser. Now, of course, this gets us right back to the problem of, well, what about the Kederos and the Migdash? Because now, I mean, now you're saying it's not, it's this Derabonan Gezerah that we've got, you know. So we're not going to let a householder go ahead and put a fire in his frying pan. Okay, that's great. We're talking about the Beit HaMikdash. I mean, you look even at the archaeological remains of Shiloh. There's tens of thousands of broken klicheres. This is an expensive business, to being Mekayim this mitzvah of klicheres yishaver. It's a simple solution. What you do is you have a kiln in the Azara. Every time you finish using a klicheres, put it into the kiln. You put it into the kiln, then there's certainly no question of, well, you're not going to do a good job. But I can't do a better job than that. And this is already an industrial issue. You just throw it back in, and then you won't have any problems. And
without
this,
anything to it.
No.
As is,
throw it into the kiln. Refire it.
It's a new kiln. It's a new clean.
Yeah, well, yeah. And that creates something of a problem, which we'll talk about tomorrow. But you can see where we're going. In other words, we started off with the Din of the Migdash, learned out of the Din of the Migdash, the Din of the bakery that's using a tanner that had been fleshing. Then we asked on that and showed that that can't really be true. Now we have to go back and ask, so why indeed is it true? When it comes to the Migdash, we have to keep breaking things. We shouldn't have to keep breaking things. This is the Seder of the Gemara. We shall continue on our fascinating day tomorrow, which of course Moshe will miss completely because it's too short by the time he gets here. There'd be no point in getting here anyway.
There's a bakery on
Yafo. Beged b'makom kadosh nitma. Well, then first you'll have to be koro, and only then v'nichnas u'mechapso b'makom kadosh. Klicheres yatzah chutz kelayim. No problem. Nichnas v'shovro b'makom kadosh. Ah, but what if it was nitma chutz kelayim? Well, then you'll have to be first nokvo, and then v'nichnas v'shovro b'makom kadosh. How about a kli nechesh yatzah chutz kelayim? Well, there too. Nichnas makom v'shovro b'makom kadosh. And if it's nitma chutz kelayim, ooh, that's going to mean you're going to have to be pohato. What is that supposed to mean, Kor'o? If you were Kor'o, then you won't be Mekayim the Mitzvah anyway, because the Torah said Beged. This is not a Beged. Lav Beged. Well, we'd have to be talking about the Mishayer Bakedei Ma'aforet. But I thought the din is, Amar Avuna, that when you are tearing a Beged, and you tear most of it and it's tar, that's only Loshna Eloshaloshier Bakedei Ma'aforet. But if in the miut that was left there was a shear of a turban, shearba kadema forat in width, then it's considered to be a chibur, and it will not lose its tume either. So then how could you bring it into the azara? Now that's only mirabana. Klicheres sheyatza, what? Kli amar achmana v'alaf kli, if you make a hole in it. Well, it's talking about over here that you only make a hole b'shorish katan, leaving the shame kli on it for other purposes. And then you say the kli nechoshet, you should be pochato. Pochato? Kli amar rachmana. V'halav kliu. Well, meratzev meratzev now. Omer shlokish, in the case of the me'il shenitma, you got a problem because you can't be koro. Therefore, the only thing you could do is machniso bepachot b'shalosh ha'shalosh u'mechapso. Mishum shenema lo yikorea. Moti revada barava avin varakin heim behem mishum shalosh ha'shalosh. Aha. But in this case, agav avihem, they are certainly considered to be choshuv. And if we'd have a problem. But how could we ever, according to Rashi, do the shetifa, the kivus of dam, which cannot be done with water, in the azara? Or according to Tosfos, how could we ever clean the me'il, since we have to avoid anything that would adversely affect the coloration of the me'il, if we need v'aboy shiv'a samamanim? The Omer of Nachman, Omer Rabba Baravua, dam chatat, our case, and marot negaim, need exactly the same seven chemicals that are needed to get rid of the dam of a nida. V'tanya, elashen machliksim miraglayim bazara mipnei hakavod. Since one of those chemicals is the ammonia of urine, what in the world are you going to do? That ain't going to work. Because or if you attempt to be maver kulam at one time, bevat echad. Lo asav alu klum. It's useless. V'chi yitemen emiv lo lebat echad b'savam honi. And there's no problem of having two mixed together. Not true, because it also says in the Mishnah, tzarech lechaschis shalosh pamin b'kol echad v'echad. Separately, it's not. Well, the solution is simple. Miv lo lo barok tafel, because anyway, said Reish Lakish, barok tafel tzarech shiyehe im kol echad v'echad. Echad kli shebishel bo v'echad shi'ira l'tocha roteach, echad kodshe kodashim, echad kachim kalim, tunim merika v'shtifa. Rabbi Shimon omer kachim kalim, ain't tunim merika v'shtifa. Tana Rabbanan, asher tevu shalbo, en yela shebishel bo. How about ira l'tocha roteach? Minayin, Talmud lomar v'asher tevu shalbo. Bo means absorption, yishaver. Boy, Rami Bar Choma, and how about if there's no absorption? If Tila Oba Vira Tanur, Mao, is it Bishol and Bilua the Kapid Rachmana? Or perhaps there's also a category of Bishol without Bilua? Omarava Tashma, Echachi Bishelbo, Echachi Rada Tocho, Roteach. So you see that Bilua is essential. No, you don't. Bilua below Bishol, I was never asking, sir. Kikame Bailon, Bishol below Bilua, my. Tashma di Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rabba Baravua Tanur Shal Migdash Shal Matechet Haya. Now, if you're going to tell me that Yitzhak Adaitach Bishu Belo Bilua Lo Kapid, so then what's the problem? You can make it even of Cheres, because it anyway is not going to have Bolua. Ah, but given the Kishiori Menachot, the Afiatan is directly in the Tanur, in which case in there you would have Bishu and Bilua in order to avoid the problem of breakage. And also Rabba Bar Eloi to ever be used as a bread baking tanur. But not forever. Tiyufta the Rabba Bar Ahiloi, Tiyufta. Omele Ravino Ravashi, man, this is great news. V'chimiachadi tot of Rabba Bar Ahiloi, how come everybody's so big about getting rid of their chometz dishes on Pesach? Amai Omer Rav kiterot pepesach yishaveru. Omele, well, Rav must have understood the case of the Tanur, as referring to Bishal Matechet, but Shal Cheres, he would agree that, you know, a China Tanur, you're going to have to break. Or, you know what, Ibai Tema, maybe even Tanur Shal Cheres. But there's a big difference, isn't there? I mean, the Tanur has Ekomi Bifnim, has Ekomi Bachutz. So why don't you just do Ekomi Bifnim, and then you can kasher your dishes. Because Chayas Aleo de Mitbere, Hilka Chay Kuvya, is considered even to be a seko mibachutsu v'yasur.
The following is the daf from the previous daf yomi cycle.
Okay, we're holding on to Gemara and Daf Tzadik Dalet Amud Beis. So the Mishnah made a suggestion, the three occasions where we have a problem of being machnis back into the Azara, either the Beged or the Klicheres or the Klei Nechoshes, that require either a Kibbutz or Shvira or Merika V'Shtifa, respectively. Talks about cases where these things were nitma'im outside of the Azor, and now we have to bring them back into the Azor in order to be mechabes, or in order to be shover, or in order to be marik b'shote. And the eighth of the Mishnah was to break them outside, to do whatever is necessary to take off the shame tuma, the shame beggar. Say hello. And then bring them inside. And the problem is, some of you asked yesterday, Maski Voravino, what good is that? Numanushab, if you're Korea, so then it's not a beggar. I mean, isn't that the reason it loses its tumor? It loses its tumor. It's not a beggar. But the Torah said to be Machabes the beggar. So Maski Voravino, Kor'o, what's the value of being Kor'o? The Torah says, V'chol beged. Beged om rachmona v'lav beged. This isn't a beged, so you're not going to be doing the kivus of a beged. So what's the point? Answers the Gemara, the Mishayer bekedei ma'aforet. Even though you tear it, but you don't rip the entire thing until it's no longer useful as a beged at all. What you do is you leave the width of a ma'aforet. Ma'aforet is like the, when you wrap your head, a turban. So it's like a sudah, and that already is considered to be a beged. So the tumah is batal because you were korea rove of the beged. And once you korea rove of the beged, that was makabel the tumah. So then that beged loses its tumah. But a shame beged it has, because it's now there's still the width of a turban that was left that wasn't korua. So no rove was korua, but a beged you still have. Says the Gemara, but then what good is that? Amy, if you do that, Omar Ravuna, Lo Shalo Shalo Shir Bakadei Ma'aforet. Ravuna says that the Nogea, the din of Bitul Tumas, over there, Ravuna is referring to a case of a talis that you tore, and it says over there that if you tore Rove, once you tear Rove, it's already bought all the shame Tuma from it, even though you didn't tear the whole thing. And Ravuna said, where do we say that robe is Torah? That's Dafka Shloshir Bakidei Ma'aforet. Avoshir Bakidei Ma'aforet Chibur Ave. And that Chibur, the width of the Ma'aforet, is enough of a Chibur to leave the tumah on the beged. So now I'm a manushah. If that's the case, wherever you're going to tear it to the point that you're mevatel the shame tumah, you're also mevatel the shame beged. So the way that Ravuna says it, we're stuck. Answers the Gemara Mid Rabbanan. That halacha of Ravuna is only a takona de Rabbanan, because you may end up, if you leave that much there, you may end up not being korea rove. But certainly, midiraisa, once you already tore rove, it loses the shame tuma from it. Doesn't lose the shame beged. And we need to distinguish between those two, by the way, because the din of bitul tuma is not dependent on the loss of the shame of what was nitma. Because if it were, of course, then there is no theoretical answer to the problem. That's what makes this mishnah so important. What this mishnah is telling us is that the shame kli, or that the shame beged vis-a-vis tuma, is not the same shame that is koveya, the shame of the chepetz in the Torah. So you can have a beged that became batul mituma, say, but it's not, because it's not the beged that was nitma, but it's still a beged lagabi the din of kibbutz. The same thing is true of the kalim. The reason for that is because in the parsha of tuma, this is what Chatzko Abramsky Zatzal suggests. In the parsha of tuma, it says the lashon of kol kli asher yatzer b'melacha. So it's not the kli. It's the kli in terms of what's known by kli nidyon. It's called kli maaseh. So this is a kli. It's actually the kli maaseh. We found the concept of kosha osi me'in melachtan. Why me'in melachtan? Why not me'in melachtan? Because the point is that what defined the nature of the kli v'gadei kavod tuma was its instrument. What is an instrument for? So it's possible to have a different type of kli, which the original kli is no longer present, but a shame kli it is. Same thing is true of the beged. Ma'aforet is a kli, so a shame kli is a beged. Same beged you have. However, the beged, as is nogea, its tuma, is not nogea a beged. It's nogea the beged, which was a kli ma'aseh, and that's potter. Kli cheres shiyasad. Now here there's a big problem in the years of Rashi apparently didn't have this whole, he felt that in his gears apparently the answer to Kli Nechoshes was put back into the part of Kli Cheres, and therefore he takes out the whole thing. It doesn't make any sense because it talks about Ritzifa, which of course you cannot do on a Kli Cheres. You can't hammer out a Kli Cheres to spread into the whole. So he doesn't have this. He simply suggests the same thing would be true about a Kli Cheres. Our Girsa has, how can you say break the Kli Cheres and then bring it in? So then you're not going to be doing at all the Maisa of Shvira, because it says the Kli Asher Yivushal Ba Yishaver. Well, I'm not breaking a Kli, I'm breaking a Shard.
So Kli Omrah, one of the Lav Kli, if I already broke the Kli Teres outside in order to get rid of its Tumah, what's the point of bringing it inside and breaking a shard? I'm going to be kind of the mitzvah. Never Shmiras Kli Teres. And the Gemara answers, Yoshi Nikev B'Shoresh Katan. Now, Rashi, who doesn't have the Gemara, suggested that the din of Bittul Shein, Bittul Tumah from a Kli Teres is dependent on the difference between a hole that is large enough to let water in if the kli is put down on water, and that's much more likely because of the pressure of the kli against the water, than the size of a hole that will let water out. And a hole needs to be rather large to let water out because of surface tension. Anybody's, you know, I'm sure you've seen your toothbrushes, things when they have those little holes very often, the water will just stay there. You have to shake it out because you don't break the surface tension. So the difference between those two, as Rash said, the case would be over here, that you were menakevit kikonis mashka, but not kamotzi mashka. So the bittul of the tumah you have, but the bittul of the kli you don't have. Therefore, when you break the kli inside, you're breaking your kli teres. The Mishnah suggested that you break it. Pochato, frak the Gemara v'alach klihu. But then it loses its same kli. Says the Gemara, okay, the rotsit pei nirza. What you do is you hammer out the hole afterwards. Now it gets the same kli, but it won't get the shame of the kli that it was. It's going to be remakabel its tumah. And so in the Mela, you can have a kiyum of the mitzvah of Marika b'shkifa. Omrei Shlokish, what do you do if the me'il becomes tameh? The Mishnah is claiming that you tear and bring it back in. The problem is nisibi rice and tearing the me'il. Lo yikareya. You're not going to be able to tear it. Matter of fact, there are those who learn that that's an isser on all of the b'tei kohanim. I mean, it's a problem. Because the real issue of the other big day kahuna and tearing is lo zasachei mashem lo kenozen, which is not to do what you're supposed to do to avodas kechavim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not to be mashes anything that the Shem Hashem is nikra alav, which includes the kedusha of the big day kahuna. There, if you don't do it l'shem hashchata, you're doing it l'shem mitzvah. It's obviously that is not lo zasachei mashem. So, but over here, this is the Farisha Yisr, specifically, Lo Yikareya, so the purpose of the Kriya, and therefore there's a Mechalik, the Brish Lakish's Kasha. Problem was Dr. Ben Adea, the Mijim. And therefore, you can't tear it. So what's the solution? The solution is to be Machnisa Pachot Mishalosh HaShalosh U'mechapsa. What you do is you bring in the area, remember, you only have to wash that area. So you bring in the area that was dirty, less than a shear of Beged. So less than a shear of 3x3. Ah, you'll kind of be bia the mixas as a man, the omra of bia the mixas shmei bia, in which case I'm being machmas to men to the asara. So Tosus suggests that the din of bia the mixas is certainly only true of a human being. Because if you stick your finger into this, I mean, we're not going to say, well, your finger is aimed to be cut off anyway, so, you know, it's one organism. But she ain't in a beged which can be torn. There's no svara to say via the mixas. Even the me'il, which is Isser, the rights of the tear. So, the answer, the solution to Rish Lakish's problem would be to simply bring in less than a shear of a beged. So you're not bringing in the tumas beged mamish into the asura. Via the mix is not a problem. And therefore, you have over your way to be masabes the me'il in the asura. Because it says you're not allowed to tear the me'il. Then you're bringing in a beged tameh. You're bringing a beged tameh. Yeah. Puts in that little bit, washes it on the other side of the door, and then takes out the next piece.
And then where does it go afterwards?
Huh?
Where does it go afterwards? After he washes these little 1-inch piece, and then he breaks it out somewhere, where does it go?
Oh, no. I see. No, you see Scott's point. Is why not just be tayvel it in the first place? Yeah, just be Akronim Tov. So why not just be Tovel it?
Clean it as well.
Oh, that's the problem. If your tzeivel is, it's miktas kibus.
And it's not
b'makom kodesh. So even though it's not the correct kibus, because the kibus requires the shiva samamani, you need to have seven specific chemicals that you're going to put on it, but nonetheless, it's an act of kibus. You're not allowed to do that outside of the b'makom kodesh. Once you did the kibus, then you already be tzeivel it. I'm sorry, I should have spoken that out. It's a good point. Good. Matzi Ravada Bar Abba. Ravada Bar Abba has a problem with the Shalosh al Shalosh. Namely, Ha'avim Vaharakim, Ein Behem Mishum Shalosh al Shalosh. That very thick begodim, or felt begodim, that are pressed, do not have the shear of Shalosh al Shalosh, because they're not really Chazu Lelavisha. You can't use, you don't use them, they're not, they're too thick to use as a patch, and they don't have any specific use of that size. So why over here did he say that you have to be marked in shalash al shalash? Bogus be shalash al shalash. There's no shear, really, of shalash al shalash on the meal because it's so thick. No, says the Gemara, but agavavien chashive. Over here, since it's part of a bed, that's talking about a piece that has been cut. You're talking about a patch. Here we're talking about an actual beged. And the meal, you're not going to cut the meal. So if you bring in a small piece, being as it's part of the meal, certainly there, the shalash al shalash is chashev. See? By the way, there's some kind of crazy mistake here in the Bach who changes the girsa to shlosh al shlosha in the sugya earlier. Nobody knows what he's talking about because none of this makes any sense. And some suggest that the Bach here was misplaced by the printer and that this Bach is supposed to be the Bach on the well-tempered clef. No, excuse me. This is supposed to be the Bach on the sugya before. You had the Mishnah about 3x3, where the Rambam says shloisha al shloisha, and he's fixing it, I'll leave it to Rambam, that, which makes a lot of sense here. That doesn't make any sense at all. I mean, I heard him talk about it. What in the world is it supposed to be? Okay. So now, the problem that we have now, which Rashi learns is a general problem, I'm going back on the Mishnah. We're supposed to be doing the kibbutz b'makom kodesh, but the problem is, V'haboi shiv'a samamanim. Now you need the seven chemicals, which include urine. The problem is, you're not allowed to bring urine into the Beit HaMikdash, as we say every day in the Memakom Kadosh, or Bazarat, and the argus increases the product. Well, okay. And then you're not allowed to, as a pagam in the covet of the Mikdash. So how can you bring the Meir Aglaim into the Azara to do the kibbutz with? You're saying it has to be Makom Kodesh. Because Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Rabba Bar Avuha, Dam Chatas, the din of kibbutz of Dam Chatas, and Maros Negoyim, where the Torah says you have to wash it and see whether you get the nega out, Tzrichim Shiva Samamonim. The din over there is you need all seven Samamonim. And it says, "Prepares in the brisa." Ela she'ein machnisim meir aglayim b'lev mikdash b'pnei hakavod. So how can we do that here? V'chi teimedim mivale alohu b'hadi shiva samamonim u'ma'avelu l'kulu kechad. If you're going to tell me, well, what I do is I mix the urine with the other ingredients, and then I have something that's not minehu vei. Not a cupboard. I mean, there's many, many things that are sold in stores, essentially, that include urea. I mean, it's nobody views that as being mamish meiraglayim, and you'll use now the ingredients of akakas. No, you can't do that, because that's not heviran shaloki sidran o shevir shivatan ki achad lo asav alokru. That the whole point of the Shiva Salamonim is they have to be done in a particular order, as every good dry cleaner knows. I mean, that's why the bathrooms are in such bad states there when you don't have the dry cleaning establishments. So it has to be in a direct order, as it's mentioned in the Brisa.
I've noticed that.
You have noticed that, huh?
Yeah, I've never
You never knew why?
No, I never knew why.
Well, wait a minute.
So you can't do that either, because if you're going to be mevaleya it, you're going to have all the shiva samamoni bevasakas. Now, maybe you'll say that v'chitema dimivalalahu v'hadichad miasamamon. And maybe what you could do is like this. You could take the ingredient that's supposed to be used before, let's say, which has already been used now. Now mix the urine with that ingredient. So then already I'm not doing vasachas. This one is over. Fine. Now I'm adding the urine. So now I'm doing it kesidron, right? You can't do that either, because atzarach lechatzchei shalosh pamim b'kol echad v'yachad. You need to have kiskus, which is actual rubbing of the material, in each ingredient separately. So therefore you can't do that either. You're going to have pure urine. How are you going to be able to do that? B'makom kadosh. The solution is very simple. All of these chemicals are supposed to be immixed and diluted specifically with saliva that has not been mixed with anything else. In other words, an early morning saliva before a person has eaten anything. So there, Yomrei Shlokish, Rok Tafel Tzarech Sheyem Kol Echad V'Echad, and that is Mavatel, the urine.
And that's kavod. They had people who just.
That was their job.
That was before professional baseball.
Now it doesn't matter whether you cooked directly the chatas in a particular container, or whether you poured some of the hot chata stew into a container, you're going to be chayev in merika v'shtifa. Echad kodshei kodashim, ve'echad kodshim kalim te'unim merika v'shtifa. It doesn't matter whether it was a chatas or even if it was other kodshim, even that matter with kodshim kalim, even the shalomim. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kachim Kalim, ain't Unin Marika Vishnifa. We're going to see the basis of the machlokas in the Gemara. Again, we have to consider, okay, let's say you're not Chayiv in Marika Vishnifa, I mean, but you're still Chayiv in the Dinim of Kashrut. I mean, so what about the Noser? Which is what we spoke about yesterday with Gavi Shviras Kalim, and according to the Rambam, the Shviras Kalim is after Bachatas. What about kashrus? I mean, it's a different issue. I mean, the kashrus problem of Moser, and you're not going to be able to use it. So again, as we've explained in the past, first of all, we're not interested necessarily in using it. So this is a mitzvah, that's all. It's nothing to do with whether you're going to use it. But in a practical sense, you are going to use it. Obviously, we're not throwing out the kalim every time we use it one time. So the point is that for kashrus requirements, we could have different dinim of how we would do the Hagolah. Hagolah doesn't necessarily follow all the dinim of Marika Mishtifa. I could do Hagolah in other liquids. I can't do Marika Mishtifa in anything but water, for instance. Yeah, we'll see, there's other napkin units. So when it talks about Marika Mishtifa, it means forget about the kashrus element per se. It's the specific mitzvahs that the Torah was b'chayev you to do over here, whether you're going to use it or not, whether you will manage to get it out in terms of kashrus, there still is this chiyuv. And that would be the machlokas of Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakama, whether this is true of Kachim Kalim as well. Tana Rabbana. Now we see in the Braisa the mocker for this halacha. It says Asher Tevushalva. So now that machora means Dafka Bishul. What makes you think that if you didn't cook in the kli, but you simply poured from another container into the kli, that you'd still require Marika Vashtifa? There's no act of Bishul Mamish. So Amy Ella should be Shelbo. Irala Tocho Roteach Minai. How do I know that pouring into it from another kli would also be included? Talmud Lomar, and this is a wrong girsa, that's not what it says in the Pasuk. Talmud Lomar Asher Bo Yishaver is what it should say. The point is that it adds bo over here. So in other words, whatever gets into it, even if it gets into it through Iroi, but wasn't Mamish Mevushal in it, is exactly the same thing. And by the way, this is the Mokar of the Rabbi of Tom's Halacha, that Iroi has the same din as a Kli Rishon. Because you see from here that it's considered to be, in the broader sense, Mevushal, even though it's not Mevushal Bo, literally, but it's Asher Bo. In other words, it's Mevushal, and it's bow, it's just not Mabushal bow. So I didn't cook it originally in this. It doesn't matter. Because it's both Mevushal and both. This is Lechor, the way the Rabbeinu Tam is learning. In which case, the implications are general implications for Kashas, as we'll see, because it is important for us to determine, as we're going to see in the Sugya, as to whether there's Beli'ah, is there absorption in this Kli? Don't believe us. No. You missed exercise yesterday. What do you want? Rami Rami Bar Chama. So Rami Bar Chama asks like this, and here is where we get to the crux of the matter. The question is like this. Given that the modern halacha that has suddenly decided that anything cooked in a tanur causes bilua in the tanur, being as that's not true, as the Gemara says, this is a davar pashut, what would be the din if I cook in a tanur, and therefore there's no bulia, but there's only cooking?
I'm cooking.
So let's say I take the meat, I hang it in the middle of the tanur. Now the tanur's not going to get poison. It's not going to absorb anything in the meat. But I still cook the meat in this tanur. So the question is the din asher to bushalvo? Does it mean asher to bushal with bli'ah, so it has to be nogea kashrus issues? Or is it a completely different question? The very fact of bishul, whether there's a tam in there or there's no tam in there.
I'm not worried about the liquid dripping off the meat.
It's a small, meaningless ask. So what would be the din over there? So our question is, therefore, if I hang it there, abishul ubilua hudakabidachman, is the Torah makbid on cooking that includes bliya in the tanur? And here you don't have any bliya. Or dilma abishul bilua, or is it bishul alone? Doesn't matter whether there's any bliya. Therefore, in the tanur, where there's no bliya, but it's still mevushal, and therefore would require the same treatment as anything else. Omar Rava Tashma. Therefore, says Rava, let's take a look at the Brisa. Echach Bishel, but we just learned whether you're Mevashel or whether you pour in from an Iroi Klirisha. Echach Irala Tochoro Teach. So, Lechora, you see that you don't need literally Bishel, which implies if you don't need literally Bishel. If you don't need literally Bishel, so then you don't need literally Bishel in the case where it was only Balua, where you poured in from the. Okay, so apparently one without the other is also is the same thing. In other words, we're not mocked, but on the specific case. So he said to him, no, come on, Balua, Balua, Bishel, Akamiboy. That I didn't ask you, did I? I didn't ask you what would be the din if you're Mavliya Chatas. I understand it's certainly an implication of Bishel. But what I'm asking is Bishel alone without any actual effects on the container, is that the Torah going to be Makam as a Xeris HaKasim? Or does there need to be an effect on the container? Kikamiboy on Bishel, Balua, Bilua, Mai. My only question was in the other direction. If I'm Mavashal and not Mavliya, what's the difference? A tanur is a kli, but it's not a kli that absorbs taste. Because I don't touch the tanur.
But how do you wash it
in a normally, when we bake in a tanur, we suspend what's being baked in a pot or on a rack. But we don't touch the tanur.
So, put the roast against the wall of the oven
to cook. Or if you do it in the way that they would do things, they'd say, well, see, that's the case by Menachos, where you cook it against, like do the other breads, cook it against the actual tanur, exactly. But the way we cook, the way we bake, we put it inside of a pot, or we use a broiler, or a rotisserie, and so on, then the thing that contains the heat does not absorb the taste of what's being baked in it. And therefore, it shouldn't be considered, if you hold that Bishel's not magic, Bishel means it, because after all, some of the noser gets into it. Over here, there's no noser.
Is that equivalent to hanging it in the tanur?
That's the case that we're asking, hanging it in the tanur.
Is the pot equivalent
to hanging it in the tanur.
Right.
As a matter of fact, they bring from here a raya to the sheet of the Shulchan Aruch that pots are not mavliya.
Mavliya is something
else. Or not mavliya, but one pot into another pot. If you touch pots against each other and there's no liquid. Exactly. There'd be no problem. So we're left with our question. Tashma. Yomre Nachman, Amar Rav Baravua. Tanur shel migdash shel matechet hayah. Here you got a problem. It said the tanur in the Beis Hamikdash was made out of metal. Now why the heck would they make it out of metal? I mean, the best way to make a tanur, as everybody knows, is out of cheres. So it must be that since they use the tanur in the migdash for baking chatas, for broiling chatas, so they know that they have to go, although they have to lose their, they have to break it. Kind of like this. No. No, that's the whole point. It's not a fleshika oven. If it were a fleshika oven, then it wouldn't answer anything. That's why I opened with the introduction. The concept of fleshika ovens and milchika ovens, the Gemara hadn't figured out yet. So therefore, Isaka Daita, Bishop, below Bilua lo kofi. If you taina, that the Torah isn't makbid on Bishul without absorption. So why can't you make a teres? Because I never absorb it. I need a water gun filled with pickle juice.
Pickle juice.
Give me ice cold water in it. I mean, otherwise.
Get it from the dry cleaner.
Ice cold water. So then you could get away with using a cheres oven, because the only thing that you do in this oven is you bake and broil and so on in ways that don't touch the actual sides of the oven to be mavliya. So why would you have to break the kli cheres? Use a good kli cheres oven.
But we don't know whether they did shtip and rig on this tanur experiment.
Right? Why else would they make it of matechas?
You only want to break.
But so then they'd have to marig a shtip.
We're supposed to do
chatos,
but sleep. You have the option, but this is
what do you mean? We just said shalom. Shalom.
Sleep like a loving.
The talim talim.
I mean,
could
that be
to
describe?
No, we're going to get to it later. We're going to let everything happen at its correct time. Unbelievable. Yeah. Rabbeinu HaKadosh had it all worked out, and now we're going to rely on his organization.
Because steam is not absorbed.
No. As long as it's vented.
Is it later kids that we're careful with that now?
I'm not careful with it. Those who are careful with it. I don't know.
I mean,
what happened is, I think, is that a rumor got around that ovens are no longer vented. Right. The source of the rumor has been traced to an unreliable source. Fine. In any event, so answers the Gemara, even the Ika Shiyari Menachas Daf Yosin B'Tanur. Since there are, however, cases where I will actually bake in this Tanur, namely the Menachas, the Menachas have the same din as everything else. They're going to become nicer, the Kodesh, and so on. And over there I have Bishol and Bilua, because the Menachos are cooked in the Mafei Tanur, are cooked against the actual sides of the Tanur. So therefore I need to have Avdin and Shemateh. And not because of the Chatas, because of other Kachim. Now, forget about Kachim right now. Now we're back to Inyonei Chol. Ahu Tanur da'atcho be'tichaya. There was a story in which they used to make bread that was baked in ovens that had been coated with animal fat. This gave a very yummy taste to the bread. So there was a tanur that they took the fat tail and they spread the fats all around the tanur, and then wanted to bake bread in it. Rabba bar Ahiloi prohibited ever eating any bread that was baked in that tanur. So, Asra Rabba Bar Eloi Lamichla Lerifta La'olam. Even if you just had it plain with salt, you couldn't. Because who knows, maybe you'll take some borsin and put it on. And put it on that bread.
This is a kosher fleischgarven.
A kosher fleischgarven, absolutely. So, and that we don't want to do. Meisvei. We asked on him, Ein lashinat ha'isabach b'chalav ve'im lash kol ha'pat kula asura mipnei hergel avera. We want to make sure that you won't use that bread. You have milchika bread. If you mix milk inside the dough, then you may come to eat that bread with meat. You'll serve it for your Shabbos table. So that's asur. And the opposite, kayotzibo, is also asur. Ein tashinat ha'tanur ba'alya. You don't cover the sides of the tanur with fat of the fat tail, and then bake your bread up in against that oven. Vim tash kol ha'pat kula asura. And if you do, then all of that bread is asur, achi yatzik et ha'tanur, until you heat up the oven. And then you burn it up. But Rabba Bar Eloi said, it's asur forever. He said, lo olam, even if you would heat up the tanur. Apparently because he holds that a tanur, since it's made out of peres, you can never get the taste out of it, even if you reheat it from the inside. Here it says, b'feirish, it's only asur until such time as it's reheated. How do you explain that contradiction?
Isn't it the pot that's
asur, not the oven? No. There is no pot. I don't know which pot you're referring to.
There's
no pot.
Whatever
it is. Pot in Hebrew?
Pot in the bread,
yeah. But it means you can't use this oven to bake pot.
Or is it just the bread that he baked in that oven is asur?
Yeah, it's the bread that he baked in the oven.
But the oven itself is not.
What does that mean, the oven itself is not? The oven itself is
you're
not for what?
You're saying that the oven is, not, is only asur until you heat it up.
Asur for what?
To be used to cook pot.
To be eaten with milk. Yeah. Because it might be eaten with milk. So what new thing are you bringing up now?
The le'olam from above is on the bread or on the oven. That is asur le'olam.
Yes. Can you please define the difference between those two?
The oven
is not us. You can keep it. You can turn it, put your stereo in it. You put knobs on it. You can cook meat in it. Anything you want. We never talked about an oven. We talked about an oven vis-a-vis bread that's baked in it. I mean, you can't use the bread baked in it ever. Even 10 years. Not the stereo.
I thought you were saying that the oven itself became us alone, and that's what I didn't understand.
The bread. Baked in the oven. But here, Rabbi Bar Eloi says any bread ever baked in that oven, ever, that oven makes that bread asur.
But the oven is still okay.
Who put out the movie about the cuckoo's nest? Okay. So it's money making Bubba Mises. I know the inside story, but it's big money. The question over here is, if according to Rabba Bar Eloi, the tanur is always going to be a fleishika tanur, even if you cook it, even if you heat it up from the inside again, why does the Braisa say achi yasikita tanur? You're right, says the Gemara. To yufta the Rabba Bar Eloi to yufta. This finishes him off. That's a checkmate. Omale Ravino Ravashi. So I don't get it then. So kumiyachad itosef Rabba Bar Eloi. Look, I mean, if we're ready to say now that you can actually heat up teres and make it kosher again. So why can't we do that on Pesach? Instead of going out and buying all those Pesach dishes, I mean, why don't we just heat them up and then we have the good kosher dishes again? So why did Rav say kederos b'pesach yishaveru? How come you have to break everything? Omar lei, Rav muki le'lagi b'shal matechet. Believe it or not, Rav said that the case over there about the tanur with the alya was referring to a metal tanur, in which case it wouldn't have been any problem with Rabba Bar Eloi. Well, you know what? You might say that the Tano Shokeres. You know, you could even say it's talking about a Tano Shokeres. And the fact is you can make a Tano Shokeres kosher, but that doesn't mean that you can make your China dishes kosher. Because there's a big difference between them. Zeh hetzeko mi bifnim, v'zeh hetzeko mi bachutz. When you heat up a tanur, you're heating it up from its own insides. And therefore, that kind of heat now cleans out the tanur, even though it's made out of cheres. But when you heat now a kli, like your China dishes, so zeh hetzeko mi bachutz. Well, there, what you do is over there, you're heating it from the outside. Heating it from the outside is not going to really penetrate the way the original. I mean, the original way it was made is you put it into an oven, and you made it very, very hot in the kiln. So what is it? That you can duplicate it at tanur, but you can't duplicate it with the plate. So the glass is fine. So duplicate it. So put it into the oven. Well, what's the problem? Turn on your self-cleaning oven and put all of your basic dishes inside and get out of the house.
That's the same kind of answer in the microwave.
So, benavid atakam mi bifnim. Answers the Gemara, because we don't believe that you're going to turn it all the way up. Because chayes ale, demitra, you're going to be worried about it. You're going to be sure it's going to bust. So Mamela exactly said, go and get yourself some new china for Pesach. But this is not an etzah for being metayer, for being maksha, normal klicheres. But a tanur, that's what it's meant for. A tanur is meant to be reheated. It's a self-cleaning oven. It's a self-cleaning oven, so you heat it and it works. Hilkach, hi kuvya. Therefore, we have exactly the same situation when we use a little kuvya, a little, or it's not buchya, a buchya are like the itun blocks, you know, the blocks that they use here for, but the open ones. You know, the ones that have the hole in the middle, you make the walls out of them. Don't think blocks.
Cinder blocks.
So the cinder block affair, which was closed on one end, and you could heat it from the outside, obviously, but it was like like we use those ovens that they put on top of the what do they call them, the psir pellets type of thing. So they have something like that where they have a whole closed piece to put things in it. So that's what these things are. So essentially, they're made out of cheres, and the way that they're heated is as if they're kederas. Mm-hmm. So don't confuse that with a tanur. Because the buchya actually has a kol mi bachutz. It's always heated from the outside, not heated from the inside. And therefore, it's awesome. Now, tomorrow, we're going to figure out what the din is, therefore, by the kederes of the Beis HaMikdash, if we could simply make a professional kiln.
I mean, why are we not worried? And redo it.
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking about over here thousands of kelim. So we could simply recycle them. Recycle them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, you see, Bishleim, if we had come out with the din, then there's a kosher, you know. So all that counts is Bishleim. Fine, so then it's a stupid question. What's the difference if you could put them into a kiln? But you were mevashel them then. But now that we've come out, we're only talking about where there's a belia. No, so then you're not talking about there's a kosher. But it was a Torah's mark, but on the B of Mesa. So that's the case. And then why don't we simply recycle all of our kelim instead of break them all the time? Thousands of kelim, and every day thousands of kelim are getting broken. So it's a mess. Well, of course, what do you mean? Anybody who's coming in?
Maybe it's not
there we go. We're going to get through the whole circuit with David again. Regular time, right?